And let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Good to have each of you back with us this evening. Had an awful big crowd this morning. Wasn't that good to see? I was thankful for that, and the Lord seems to be adding, and I'm thankful for the crowd we have also here tonight. Now, I'm dealing with question sermons at this particular time, and the question tonight concerns the doctrine of election. I get questions on that a good bit. Usually when we get new people, they'll have questions on the doctrine of election. Now, one of the things that I want to establish right off the bat is you really can't say that you don't believe in election. You know why that is? It's a Bible word. I mean, it's in the Bible. The word elect is used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So you're going to have to do something with it. And when I first seen it in the Bible, I thought, there ain't no way, there ain't no way that's true. And matter of fact, when I first heard it, I got angry over it. I went up after talk to straighten the preacher out. You know, when you're young, when you're a teenager, you think you know everything. And I was learning the Bible, but you know, my pastor wouldn't quarrel with me. And I wanted to, and he said, well, Jeff, I tell you, if you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. That's what he said. I said, well, all right, I won't believe it. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give you scriptures. But I want you, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. You ask God whether this doctrine is true or not. Would y'all do that? We're going to pray here in a minute. Before I go into it, you ask God, God, is the doctrine of election a true doctrine in your book? Because it takes the Lord to reveal it to someone. And the first time I heard it, I told you how I responded. I was angry. But the preacher was wise, and he said, if it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. Here's 20 verses. You pray, ask God first, and then you search and see. And guess what? When I searched and saw, guess what I saw? I saw it, and I believe it, and that's why I preach it. Mike Shamlin come here, and when he first come here, he come from another place, and then I looked, I noticed my Bible was missing, and I looked, and from my Bible, I had all the verses for like eternal security, for election, for all these different things, for how to witness and all these things. And I couldn't find my Bible, looked behind me, there's Mike Shamlin writing the questions, writing down the verses. I wrote down the verses, and then I asked God, and I searched the scriptures to see whether it was so. Everybody should do that. I've heard people over the years quarrel with me over it. But if it's not in the book, don't believe it. That's what I'm going to tell you. If it ain't in the book, don't believe it. But I'm telling you tonight, it is in the book. And you're going to have to deal with it. So we're going to do that this evening. I appreciate the one that asked the question because it gives me opportunity to do this. Now, here's what we're going to look at. I summed up the question the way we're going to look at it. Boy, I can't even read my own writing. We're going to look at free will of choice. Free will of choice. Do you have free will of choice? I want you to think about that. Number two, are you predestined to burn? Predestined to burn. Number three, God saves through preaching. Number four, just a few predestinated. That's the next statement. We're saved, and here's the fifth one. Actually, this is going to be my first one tonight. We're saved from the foundation of the world. Are we saved from the foundation of the world? So those are the five parts of this question. That's why it's so very important. I do want to say, and I want to mention this to you too, that we're not hard shells. Do you know what a hard shell Baptist is? Now, sometimes people call me a hard shell, but they're wrong. Makes me mad. Hard shells don't believe in this life you can know whether you're saved or not. And you won't know till you get there. Isn't that a horrible, I mean, it'd be a horrible way to live, wouldn't it? I want to know I'm saved. I want to know I got a home in the Father's house. But a hard shell, you just won't know. I used to fish with one. And I said, well, I believe in election because the Bible teaches it, but God says through the preaching of His Word. He draws His sheep through the preaching of the Word. And he said, well, I wish I could believe that. And he died that way, Hollis. He died that way. It made me sad. I witnessed to him about Jesus and told him the importance of predestination. In predestination, those he calls, he justifies. But he never did see it. And I felt sad over that. I really did. So we're going to look at this tonight in a little bit of detail. I hope I can get done, because I'm going to really try my hardest to get done. So that's the questions we're going to be looking at, good questions. I've had these before in 38 years of pastoring. You'll get them over and over and over again. So it gives me the opportunity to deal with it, and I appreciate the questions, okay? All right, now my first statement tonight is and I've done made it once, and I'm going to make it again. You can't say you don't believe in election. You can, but that's like saying, I got a quarter in my hand, you know? And then you say, no, you don't. And then me taking, put it by, no, I don't either. I don't see it. But election is clearly taught in the Scriptures. And the word elect is also in the Scriptures. And that's what we want to look at first. Now, Matthew chapter 24, I want you to notice verse 31. Now, at least the word elect is used 13 times just in the New Testament. I didn't even go to the Old Testament, but because the word elect is also used in the Old Testament. So this is a Bible word that's used in the Old and also is used in the New. So it goes from the Old all the way through to the book of Revelations. Election is also taught in Revelations. It's taught in Ephesians. It's taught in Romans. I mean, we can go on and on the different books that mentions it. So that's the reason why we're going to deal with it. So it's a Bible word. That's why I say you can't say you don't believe in it. You have to acknowledge that it's a word, and it's a word in the Scripture. So let's go ahead and look at Matthew 24:31 again. He shall send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his what? What's it say? So this is talking about the second coming. Same thing 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about. And when the Lord comes, he's coming with a shout, and he's coming with a trump, ain't he? Voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And he's going to gather together his elect from the four winds. That's north, south, east, and west. So, see, he has elect in the north, south, east, and the west. So he refers to these people that goes up. No, notice what it says. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's talking about the second coming in the text. And what he's going to do when he comes again, what's he going to do? He's going to gather us with the angels, isn't he? That's what we have in 1 Thessalonians 4. He'll send his angels with a great sound of a what?
Trumpet.
He's coming with the trumpet, isn't he? He's talking about the second coming. But what I want you to notice is what it calls God's people here. And he shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven. Now, God's people's in two places. Y'all agree? One place God's people are in the earth. What's the other place God's people's at? So that's what it says in the text here. He's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. That's when he comes again. And they shall gather together his, that's what it calls God's people. They're going to gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. So I just wanted you to see that. One of the names for God's people is the elect. They're called disciples. They're called saints, but they're also called the elect, but you won't hear them called that very much because people will have to explain the word. They won't. They just don't want to fool with it. They want to act like it doesn't even exist, but it indeed does. Now, it's used everywhere, but I want to show you a couple examples of it. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know what? We didn't pray, did we?
No, we didn't.
We need to pray before we go any farther. Did that sound all right? It's going to mess my tape up, but we're going to pray anyhow because we need it. Everybody bow their head here while you're turning here, and then I'll pray. What I'm going to ask you to do is ask if it's true. Here's what I'm going to tell you what I'd like for you to pray. Lord, if this is true, if this doctrine of election is true, show it to me. Okay? Why am I telling you to do it? Because that's exactly what I did. And then I seen it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight. And Master, I'm sorry that I rushed into things, but I'm excited to preach. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, we believe this is your word. And we pray that you'd take this message this evening and reveal it to folk, that they would see it maybe for the first time and enjoy it the way that it's intended to be enjoyed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 12. I want you to notice again, you'll have this, you'll see this word everywhere. Now, do you know who preached more on election than anybody? Does anybody know?
Paul.
Who?
Paul.
Exactly right. The Apostle Paul preached in his Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, all the epistles of Paul. He preached more on election than any other preacher. Does everybody agree with that? More than any other preacher, Paul preached the doctrine of election. And when I go to teach election, I go to the epistles of Paul, normally. I normally go to that. So you'll see it. And when I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul, was Paul evangelistic? Was Paul evangelistic? I'm asking. Was anybody any more evangelistic than Paul? Nobody preached election more than Paul, but nobody was more evangelistic than Paul. You don't have a copy of the Lamb's book. You don't know who God's elect are. I think it was Spurgeon. I might be wrong. That said, if God's elect had a stripe up their back, I'd go around pulling up people's shirt tail to see whether it was them. You don't know who God's elect are, do you? You know the only one who knows who they are? Somebody tell me. Only God knows. He tells you to present the gospel to every creature, and that's what we do. But God does have a people. Now, can I ask you another question? Did God choose Israel or did he not? I'm asking you. Because nobody has a problem with that, but when you talk about Gentiles being chosen, they get mad. God chose Israel, clearly. Did he or did he not? Who made Israel to differ from other people? God did. God chose them. We all say it, but people don't have no trouble with that. It's just when you start talking about choosing Gentiles is when people have a problem with it. But the epistles of Paul were wrote to Gentile churches. These were Gentile Colossae, Ephesians, Galatians. These were Gentile churches. He referred to them as the elect. What's that mean? Chosen. God chose them. Not based on their good works or their good deeds, but based on God's grace. Do you know there's even elect angels? How many know that? Raise your right hand. Yeah, the Bible speaks of it in the book of 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21. It speaks of elect angels. What happened to the ones that wasn't elect? They fell. God kept them from falling. He did. So you have elect angels. That's what it says. You write down the text and look it up and see. There's such a thing as elect angels. And the angels that fell were elect. Why didn't God choose them all? I don't know. You have to ask God when you get there. But I'm just telling you, it uses the term elect to describe angels. But the fallen angels are what? That's what the demons are. There is such a thing as that too. All right? So my first point tonight is you can't say you don't believe in election because it's a Bible word. 13 times it's mentioned in the Scriptures. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Now, this is a church. This is the church of Colossae. It was made up of Gentiles. And he said, "Put on, therefore, as the..." What's it called the people of the church, beloved?
Elect.
Calls them elect. It's not my word. It's the Lord's word. It calls them the elect. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, etc. Calls them the elect. It means God chose them. He set his affection and his love upon them. Let's go to Titus real fast. I'm sorry. Let's just go to Romans 9. Let's go to Romans 9. Now, I can take you everywhere and show you where the word elect's used. I'm just telling you people won't preach it. And I'm telling you, if you're a pastor, you're supposed to preach the whole counsel. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now, this I probably shouldn't went to right yet, but this right here is just as plain as you can get, I think. Romans chapter 9. Who wrote the book of Romans? Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit. Okay. Now, this brings me on to a text that's really difficult to interpret other than just read it and tell you what it basically means. Are you ready? All right, let's begin at verse 11. It says, for the children being not yet born. Now, this is talking about, when we get on down in here, it's talking about Jacob and who else? Was Jacob and Esau brothers? Were they? Yes. Jacob and Esau were brothers. Now, I want you to follow this with me now. And not only this is verse 10, Rebekah conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet what? Not yet born. Neither having done any good or that the purpose of God according to, there's the word election again, according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder, or this is Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. Now look at verse 13. What does it say? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. That's what it says. He set his affection and his love upon Jacob. Do y'all agree? And Jacob became, he changed Jacob's name to Israel, right? That's a tough text, isn't it? When's the last time you heard that preached on? It's in the Bible, but it's difficult to explain. Esau became the nation of Edom. If you'll go back in the Old Testament, the Edomites and the Israelites always were fighting. The Edomites hated Israel. They despised Israel. They were idol worshipers. Jacob was a saved man. Esau, I think, was a lost man. Raised by two godly parents, but I think Esau was a lost man. It says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I what? Hated. Now, what's your first reaction after hearing that? Now, let me tell you what my first reaction is. Well, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. God can't do that. Isn't that what you're thinking? Well, you know what? He figured you'd think that. He figured you'd think that. Now let's look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? See, he's done covered you on that, didn't he? Is it unrighteous for God to choose Jacob and despise Esau? I don't know why he loved Jacob. Do you? I mean, he was a conniving little weasel, the way it looks like to me. He stole from his brother. He would cheat you. And Esau was more of a hunter. We'd loved him because he's a hunter. He was a man, a big hairy man. But God sent, listen, God set his affection and his love upon Jacob. And he made the nation of Israel through Jacob. He chose Israel. Did he not choose Israel or not? Everybody agrees with me that he chose Israel, but yet they have problems with election because the reason he chose him, that is election. That's what it is. Everybody calls them God's chosen people. He chose a people, but he also chose the people of the Gentiles. All God's people say it. I think everybody here tonight saves the Gentile, ain't he? He chose to save the Gentiles too. Aren't you glad? All right. Stay with me now. Oh, let me see where. I've got so much here I don't know. Romans 9. All right, let's go watch this now. As it is written, verse 13, Romans 9, 13, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Wasn't that your first thought? It's not right. What's he say? What's God's response to your thought? God forbid. God forbid. God's righteous. No matter what. Oh, by the way, did God provide a plan of salvation for fallen angels? That ain't fair, is it? Did God provide a plan of salvation for fallen angels? No. There is elect angels, as the Bible says. There is. I've done showed you where that was at. But God didn't provide a means of salvation for fallen angels or demons. That's what a demon is. Did he provide Christ to die for the fallen angels? Is that fair? Yeah, anything God does is fair. Amen. He doesn't owe them nothing. He can do as he pleases, and he did. He didn't provide. When Jesus died on Calvary, he didn't die for angels. He died for who? Died for his people. Okay? Let's read on. Verse 15, he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that shows the what? Mercy. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved, why are you saved? Was it because you're smarter than everybody else? Or was it because God bestowed upon you his mercy? Or is it because God made you alive? He made you alive. He opened your blinded eyes. The Bible says you was dead in trespasses and sins before you saved, but when it says he quickened you, that means he made you alive. And you've seen Jesus then. That's why he done it, the way that he did. Who gets the glory for it? God does. Notice what it says in verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, y'all mean it's talking about the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. Was Pharaoh a godly man? No, he wasn't. He hated Israel. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he does what? He hardeneth. Thou wouldst say, why do ye find fault then? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel to honor and one vessel another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. So, you can't say you don't believe in election because you got the word elect and the word election used in Scripture. That was my first point. Now, the second point was, well, was we saved from the foundation of the world? Were we saved from the foundation of the world? God chose to save us from the foundation of the world, but we weren't actually saved until the day we trusted Jesus. He chose to save you before the foundation. That's when he made the decision to save you. And then there came a day that he made sure you heard the gospel, made sure you heard it. And then what did he do? He made you what? Remember, I say that all the time. He made you what? He made you alive. That's what the word quicken means. He made you alive, and you saw it. And you trusted it, and he saved your soul. All God's people said. You say, well, why preach in? Because God saves through preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, do you got a copy of the Lamb's book? Does anybody here tonight got one? Did you bring a copy of the Lamb's book with you? You don't got your own personal copy of it. You got the Bible. You can learn much from the Bible. But you don't have your own copy of who's in the Lamb's book, do you? So we present the gospel to who? Every creature. I mean, they don't have on their head elect. You don't know who they are. You know when they come and stay. You know when they come and stay. They hear the gospel and they respond to it because the Lord is the one that does that. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why, how many times you hear me say we're not hard shells? There is such a thing as a hard shell. How many knows that? Raise your right hand. They don't believe you have to preach. They don't think you can even know in this lifetime whether you're saved or not. That's why I keep constantly saying we're not hard shells. We believe in presenting the gospel, praying for the lost, spreading the gospel, all these things. We just think God's the one that does the saving. God's the one that makes you alive. So he chose to save us. Number three, does man have a free will of choice? Adam did. We're not like Adam, beloved. Adam didn't have, when he was created, the Bible says that Adam was created how? Upright. He wasn't sinless. He was sinless in the beginning. Until what happened? Until he did what? Until he did what, I'm asking? He sinned. And then what entered the world? Sin entered the world. Then sin entered the world. So when Adam had a child, had his children, how were they born? Were they born sinless? No. They were born into sin. You know, you don't have to teach a baby to do, you don't have to teach a baby to do wrong. They'll learn how to do wrong naturally, won't they? Why is that? They're born in what? What did David say in Psalms? In sin did my mother conceive me. So we're not like Adam in that sense. There's the first Adam, and then there's, you go to the Creation Museum, you'll see a thing on that. There's the first Adam, and then there's the second Adam. Who's the second Adam? Jesus. He's the second Adam. He came and he paid our debt, rose again the third day. All God's people said. Boy, he did. That's what he did. So when we have children, they're born what? They're born sinners. I'm just telling you what the Scriptures teach. They're born sinners. In sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3 shows how we're born in sin. We're sinners. We were born sinners. That's why we need to be what? Saved. So we wasn't like Adam in the beginning. Didn't take you long to see sin creep in after Adam sinned, was it? You had your first murder, didn't you? Didn't you have a murder not long after that? Once Adam sinned, then sin came into the world, and Cain slew who? Abel. Then you have death starting. See? Why such wickedness? I mean, it gets so bad, but on over in Genesis that God sent a flood. I mean, it went down fast. Why is that? Well, because men were born into sin. And men today are still born into sin. You're born in sin, and that's what the Scriptures teach. Free will choice. The problem is man will choose sin unless the Holy Spirit intervenes in their life. We're not saved because we're smarter than anybody else or more intelligent and seen it. God caused you to see it. God opens your heart. Y'all remember Lydia, the seller of purple? I talk about her all the time. In the book of Acts, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. He opened your heart. I was a sinner living in sin, and God opened my heart. And I saw it. When he opens your heart, to open your heart is to open your understanding, and you see it. And you trust Jesus as your Savior. You do. So let's go to John 6 now. I'm going to have to get done now, beloved. Y'all with me all night? No. But y'all stay with me here. I can't stop now. I got to finish this evening. Sometimes you give people too much in one setting, but I'm going to try not to do that. You understand everything I said so far? I said you can't believe in election because the word election is a Bible word. It's a Bible word. It's used in Old and New Testament in a bunch of places, so you have to deal with it. Were we saved before the foundation of the world? No, he chose to save us before the foundation of the world, but you're not saved until you trust Christ as your Savior. He saves through the preaching of the word. That's the way he chose to do it. See what I mean? That's why we're not hard shells, okay? All right, now in John 6, does man have a free will of choice? You remember, his choice is governed by his nature, and his nature is a sin. Men will choose sin. Now, I want you to see this in John chapter 6. Are you ready? I've read this to you a bunch over the years. All that the Father giveth me, John 6, 37. Are you ready? All that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? All that the Father giveth me shall do what? Now, it doesn't show any doubt about that, does it? All right, let me ask you a question. When did he give them? When did he give them? You know what I'm going to say, right? We're doing the book of Ephesians on Wednesday. He gave them before the foundation of the world. That's what he did. All that the Father giveth me, what are they going to do? They're going to come to me. Him that comes to me, I will no wise do what? Hey, that's one of the strongest verses in the Bible for eternal security. You come to Jesus, he won't cast you out the day you come, and he won't cast you out any time after that either. Still with me? Verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I will lose nothing, and I'll raise them up the last day. Again, it uses the term given. Twice it uses the term given right here in these texts. God give us to the Son. God give us to the Son, and the Son paid our debt in full. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the last day. All right. You're glad it doesn't stop there? No man can come to me except. Aren't you glad there's an exception? Yeah. All right. For someone to come to Jesus, what has to happen according to this verse? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what?
Draw him.
And then those he draws, what to say is going to happen then? I'll raise them up the last day. That means they're going to either going to make it. They're going to make it. He's going to make sure they do. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. He draws you. You remember the day you were saved? Did the Lord draw you? Yeah, you wanted to be saved. You had a desire for it. And that's what it says. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what again? He has to draw them. Okay? Let me get back up here. So no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what again? Draw him. Now let's look down at verse 65. Same chapter, verse 65. Now look at verse 65. Therefore said I unto you, no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. Same deal. No one can come except it were given to him of my Father. So that's the reason why that you come. Here's what I'm trying to say. Now, we all agree that we chose to be saved, don't we? I mean, we can all say that. Every one of us here tonight that's born again, we can say, I chose to be saved. But now I'll give you something else to think about. Are you ready? Who deserves the glory for the choice? God does. Not you. It's not because we're smarter than everybody else. It's because God opens your heart and He opens your understanding. And I've told you millions of times over the years, the Bible says that before we were born again in the book of Ephesians, I just done it again on Wednesday night. We were dead in trespasses. We're a spiritual corpse. Y'all believe it? We were a spiritual corpse. We was just like Lazarus. You know what the Lord did the day He saved you? He opened your eyes. He opened your heart. He opened your understanding. And He drawed you right to Himself. All God's people say it. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what again? Draw him. Who does the drawing? God does. God does. It makes you willing. It makes you want it. He's the one that does it. Now, with what I've done so far, I ain't done, but with what I've done so far, who am I giving all the glory for your salvation to? It's all God. We don't deserve any of it. We're not brighter than anybody else. God made us what we are. God opened our heart. God put you in touch with somebody who could tell you about Jesus. God did all that. All God's people say it. It's a glorious thing, ain't it? I like that. I do. All right. I've been answered this one. Predestination to burn. Predestination's only to life. Predestination's to life. Let's turn to Romans 8 and let's get that there. Beloved, everybody's already was already going to hell. You know what I'm saying? When Adam sinned, that condemned the whole race. Everybody after Adam, when they were born in what? Sin. So, Romans chapter 8, and let's notice verse, Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to give you the whole look of it now. It gives you the whole look of it in Romans 8. I'm going to come down a little bit closer. Are you ready? Here's where it's all listed at in this particular text. Romans chapter 8. Now, we know Romans 8, 28, right? How many knows Romans 8, 28? Raise your right hand. Right? Now, we quote this verse all the time, but we want to interpret it in the context now. We know that all things work together for the good to them who? All things work together for the good to them that love God. That's one of our great promises, ain't it? To them who are the what? What's it called again? It's called the called. According to His purpose. Now He goes on and explains. He explains salvation now in this text from start all the way through to the finish. All right, let me give that to you. For whom He did foreknow. That's foreknowledge. In foreknowledge, what He did, He set His affection and love upon you. Whom He did foreknow, He did do what? What to say? See that word predestinate? That's a Bible word too. And it means to predetermine. Whom He did foreknow, He predestinated to be made according to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now watch this now. Moreover, whom He predestinated, what did He do then? I'm asking, what does it say? He called them. Those He predestinates, He calls. Now who did He predestinate? I don't know. You know what, after they come, He tells us to present the gospel. That's why we're not hard shells. I don't know who the Lord's going to call to you. We present the gospel to every creature. The greatest soul winners in history believe the doctrine that I'm preaching right here. Nobody preached it more than Paul. Y'all agree? Nobody taught the doctrine more than Paul. Remember William Carey, the father of modern missions? He believed it too. Paul believed it too. C.H. Spurgeon believed it too. You go on and on. It's either in the Scriptures or it's not. You know why I believe it? Because it's in the Scriptures. If it wasn't in the Scriptures, I wouldn't believe it. But it's there. But it's there. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed, to be made like Jesus. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, what did he do? He called them. And whom he called, what did he do? He justified them. That means they believed on Jesus, and then they were justified. And whom he justified, what's he going to do? Going to glorify him. Now, you want to know what the strongest verse in the Bible is for eternal security? Romans 8, 29 and 30. It's the strongest verse in the Bible for it. He foreknew you, he predestinated you, he called you, and he justified you. And it says that he's also going to do what else? He's going to glorify you. Strongest verse in the Bible for eternal security. Now, beloved, I didn't write Romans 8, but it's there. And it's true. Does it change anything we do? No, but you know what it does do? It gives all the glory for your salvation to the one that deserves it. And that's God. Amen. That's why we preach it. That's why we preach it. Okay? Is there just a few saved? No. Revelation 7 verse 9 says that there's a multitude that no man can number from every kindred, tribe, nation, and people. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. There's a great host of people that's saved. He has a lot of sheep. He has a lot of sheep. Okay? Second Peter chapter 3. We'll close with this. This is enough. That's too much at one setting, I think. Well, let's go to John 17. Let me skip to that instead. John 17. I don't think I've read. Have I read John 17? I don't think I have a Bertha. All right, I'm gonna hang my hat on this. Okay? I ain't got a hat. I don't want to put it on my hair. But I am going to read John 17, not the whole book, but I'm going to, it's got a lot about being given in here. Okay? This is the Lord's Prayer. You know, you always think, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the model prayer. John 17 is the Lord praying. Are you ready? All right. I want you to look for the word, I want you to listen for the word gave or gavest and given. Are you ready? Everybody ready? Let's watch it now. Verse 6. I have manifested this, John 17, 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words that you gave me, that they have received and have known surely that I've come forth from thee. And have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but them which you've given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in him. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And none of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You say, well, Jeff, that's just talking about the apostles. Well, did he choose the apostles? Well, he did, didn't he? But verse 20. Was you waiting on verse 20? You was, wasn't you? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their what? Through their word. See, he saves through preaching. He gives the word. We spread the word. And then the Lord uses that message to do what? Draw his sheep. That's how he works. That's why I won't let nobody call me a hard shell. I believe you can know in this life whether you're saved or not if you trust Jesus. Amen. Yeah, don't you? Yes. Don't you? And the glory, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 24, Father, I will, that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. He's praying that they be with him. Well, that's a good question this evening, a tough question. I have to deal with it every now and again because it's a doctrine that the church believes. We believe it because it's in the Scriptures. Does it change what we do? No, it's the reason to go. Paul himself said, I suffer all things for the elect's sake. Where did Paul go? He went everywhere. He didn't know who they were. You present the gospel, and God uses the gospel message to draw them. And then when they come and they believe and they stay, that's a sign that they've been born again. Doesn't change a thing. Doesn't change a thing that we do. You got to deal with the text. You got to deal with the word. Election, elect, predestination are all Bible words. But you won't hear them in many places. Those people don't want to deal with it. They're Bible words. The reason why you're saved is because of that. He reached down one day, chose you before the world ever began. And then over a period of time, he called you by his grace. Opened your understanding, opened your eyes, and made you what? Made you alive and drawed you right to himself. That's what he did. Now, with what I just said, who does it give the glory for your salvation to? It's all God. There won't be no braggarts in heaven. I worked my way here, or I seen it, and all the rest of the crazy people couldn't see it. No, you seen it because he revealed it to you. He opens your understanding and opens your heart. Well, I hope it answers your question.